Good morning.
Morning.
See all your friendly faces. Today's scripture lessons come from Acts 11, 1 through 3, and 6 through 19. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to the uncircumcised men and eat with them?" As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But I replied, "By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But a second time the voice answered from heaven, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me. And when we entered the man's house, he told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house saying, "Send Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved." And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord and how he said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, and they spoke the word to no one except Jews.
Let us pray. Lord, we hear about how your Holy Spirit moved. And sometimes we think, that was then. But Lord, show us where it is you are leading us today. Show us where it is you would have us go and who you would have us be. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. There was a couple driving home from church, and their little boy was sitting in the back seat, and the dad was saying, "You know, I didn't think that much of the sermon today." And his wife said, "It was okay, but the choir, I thought they were a little off." And he said, "Yeah, they might have been a little off, but, you know, what can you expect?" And the husband said, "Yeah, and you know, what did you think of that third hymn?" And the wife was like, "Oh, I didn't like that one at all." And just then, a little voice pipes up from the back seat and says, "Mom, Dad, you have to admit it was a pretty good show for a dollar." So there's a globe at the New York Public Library, and it's one of the oldest globes in existence. It comes from 1515. It's the Hunt Lennox Globe, and it's noteworthy because it is the only ancient map that includes the Latin words "Hic sunt draconis," which means "Here be dragons." On the map, those words appear near the coast of Southeast Asia. If you didn't know what was there, then that's what they put. "Here be dragons." We don't know what's there. It could be bad. Don't go there. Well, in our scripture today, the Apostle Paul is asked to explain why the elders in Jerusalem have heard reports that he not only visited Gentiles, that is, people who were not Jewish, but has eaten meals with them and stayed in their house, the house of a Roman centurion. Now, none of these things were lawful according to the Torah for a devout Jew to do. And so we hear Peter launching into his explanation of what happened, and he explains how he had this peculiar vision. He was at the house of someone in Joppa, and he's praying up on the roof, and suddenly he sees this sheet lowered down, and in it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. And then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And that was a very strange vision for someone who was brought up as a nice Jewish boy to have, because all of these creatures, these creepy crawly things, were not kosher. They weren't clean. They weren't something you were supposed to take into your body. And so Peter is puzzled by this, and as he's considering this, he gets this nudge from the Holy Spirit to go downstairs, and because three men have arrived from a place called Caesarea, and they say, you know, "We were sent here," and as if all of this hadn't been weird enough, they said, "Yeah, we're supposed to take you back to our boss, who is a Roman centurion in Caesarea. His name is Cornelius. And he had a vision, and he said we're supposed to come here." And so Peter takes some companions, and they walk to Caesarea. And so everyone's gathered there. Cornelius gathers his whole family, his whole household together. And when Peter gets there, he falls down at his feet, and he says, "You know, I'm so glad you're here." And Peter says, "You know, get up, don't worship me." And they said, "Well, we want to listen to what you have to say." And so Peter begins to preach, and the Holy Spirit suddenly poured out on this crowd, and it's like a mini Pentecost happens right there. Only this time, you know, at the original Pentecost, the disciples are there, and the Holy Spirit comes down, and there's a sound like a mighty wind. But all the people who are around are Jews who've come for a festival. But they hear, they're from all over the place, and they each hear in their own language. Well, this time, this is sort of the Gentile Pentecost. Everybody is there, and they hear what Peter says, and they want to be followers of Jesus Christ. So it is an amazing thing. Peter has gone right off the map. Everybody thought that this message at first was just for the Jews. Jesus was a Jew. He preached mostly to Jews. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit is saying, "No, it's for everybody. We're at this exceptional moment." And so Peter gets called onto the carpet saying, "What are you doing eating with these Gentiles?" And he said, "It was a Holy Spirit thing. And who am I to hinder the Holy Spirit?" Well, those kinds of things still happen today, I like to think. Sarah Crosby was one of the earliest women preachers in Methodism. She didn't set out to preach, but she lived with several other women who had started an orphanage. And so they were running the orphanage, and Sarah Crosby would sometimes travel and lead these class meetings. And so she had gone to a town in England, and she had led a class meeting after the worship services on Sunday, and about 30 people came, and you know, they shared their testimony and spoke with one another and encouraged one another in their faith journey, and they went home. And she then the next Sunday came, and 200 people came up to her class meeting. And she couldn't do it. She couldn't have a discussion with 200 people. So what did she do? She did what the Spirit led her to do. This was in 1761. To give you some context, she got up. She had them sing a hymn. She read them some scripture. She gave a testimony and called it a day. But she did want to let John Wesley, who was a friend of hers, know that she had preached, which was a thing women in England did not do in that time. And she said, "You know, I didn't know what else to do." And he said, "Well, that's okay." He said, "I'm not usually in favor of women preachers, but you did the right thing." Well, time passed, and not only Sarah Crosby, but her friend Mary Bosanquet also started having these experiences where there were these large crowds coming, and they didn't know what else to do but preach. And so Mary Bosanquet, she wrote a letter to John Wesley, and she said, I think you need to license us to preach. All of these people are showing up. And so we had to do what God was calling us to do. And so she wrote him this letter, and he then wrote back, and he said, since you have an exceptional calling, then I will license you to preach. And so Mary Bosanquet and Sarah Crosby became the first women Methodist preachers. They had an extraordinary call, is what they said they experienced. Sometimes the Spirit pushes us in places where we might otherwise be too, what's the word, timid to step forward. Peter tells the folks back home, how could I hinder God? He has this extraordinary vision. It sort of all clicks into place as he begins to preach, and he sees the Holy Spirit come down, and he realizes it's not just about eating. It's about who we include. And we don't have to be Simon Peter or Sarah Crosby or John Wesley to have a challenge from the Holy Spirit, a challenge that might take us off the map as we know it. Think about your own life in the church, maybe here at another church, maybe as a child or an adult. I have heard about Naked Creek Methodist Church. I have heard how the building that the church met in became structurally unsound due to termites. I have heard about how there were a number of families that stepped out in faith, and each family took out a loan and took the financial risk to build this church. These followers of Jesus Christ found themselves standing at the edge of the map, but they were not afraid to follow where the Holy Spirit led them. And it doesn't matter if you're not related to one of those families, because we are the inheritors of that legacy. Those children who sat up here, and there were a bunch of them, they are the inheritors of that legacy. And we are the people who are supposed to build the future for them. We are supposed to be attuned to the Holy Spirit. We're not living in easy times to be a Christian. We live in the 21st century in post-Christian times. The majority of the people in the culture do not go to church. But that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit has stopped working. That doesn't mean that we are not still inspired. This is holy ground that we stand on. I hear the praise band play. I hear the people sing. And I know this is a holy place. And so I ask you to listen for that still small voice of the Spirit that still speaks, that still calls us to action, that still calls us to build a future in Jesus Christ. The kind of future that can help us withstand the trials of everyday life. The Holy Spirit that fills us so that we can support the family of Maggie Peterson. The Holy Spirit that gives us strength to face all that we face. Let us proceed with faith, supported by the living God who goes with us and still works among us. Amen.